There's been a lot of effort lately to get younger people educated and interested in the STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math.
At the same time, there's been growing awareness that some groups of people are underrepresented in those fields at the college and professional levels, including people of color.
Our next guest is working to turn that around in Milwaukee and beyond as a tutor, a teacher, and a mentor. Sharif Jackson is the founder of the math and physics tutoring service Math Looks Good LLC and adjunct professor at UW-Whitewater. He joined us in our Milwaukee studio. Sharif, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. I'm trying to stay warm.
Everybody is. Now, before we get, Sharif, to the specific work you do, I think a lot of people might say, I'm just not good at math. I'm not a math person. I'm not into numbers. How would you encourage people in general to just maybe give math another chance?
Well, I usually tell people that things like math and science are like learned skills. So it's kind of like a sport. Like there are some people that are born with some gifts, but if they don't practice them and use them, then they won't be great at it. Math and science is the same thing. I mean, like, sure, you have some, like, you know, your Einsteins and such that have some natural gifts, but you have to use it. So it's really like a practice makes perfect kind of thing.
Now, math and science can look intimidating to anyone. What extra obstacles do you see for children of color when it comes to getting into the STEM topics, the science, technology, engineering, and math?
I mean, I think that the biggest thing to me is not seeing a lot of examples and role models from areas that they are from. I can definitely identify with that because when I was in college, you know, I did not see a lot of professors of color, and I didn't see that many students of color either. So it's kind of a vicious cycle where because you don't see those examples, you kind of subconsciously believe that you can't make it or it's not for you. So I think that, you know, that's why I like to put the effort into try to break that cycle and to let people know that, you know, that there are lots of examples out there and that it is something that anybody can achieve.
That's a message that maybe kids themselves get. Is there also kind of a built-in bias in our society for the grown-ups in a kid's life where they might look at, say, an African-American kid and just not look at that person as a math or science person?
For sure. I think that, you know, I think for a lot of us, if you say the word doctor or engineer or astronaut, you know, usually what pops up is a very stereotypical, like, older white male, you know, with a tweed jacket or like a nice beard. I definitely think that bias is kind of built in because of the position that people of a color have been putting in this country for like so long. So I think that, you know, those are images and we know that they're not real, but they still hold weight, especially emotional weight. So I think that bias is there just because of the history.
What do we miss out on as a society if we have this potential talent pool in fields like math and science and computer programming? I mean, the list goes on, engineering. If we've got this potential talent pool and they don't get a chance, they don't get exposed to these fields.
I mean, we miss out on the best ideas. I mean, you know, time and time again, like we've seen that the best ideas come from companies that have the most diverse set of like voices. Like you need a lot of different experiences, especially when you're designing products to like avoid, you know, any like blind spots. You know, you need people of color of your team on your team. You need women on your team. You need people of different gender backgrounds and orientations on your team, because like that is what is going to help you make the best product that takes into account the most people's perspectives. So I think that at the end of the day, if we don't encourage like diversity on our teams, then we're not going to get the best products.
Talking to Sharif Jackson, founder of the math and physics tutoring service Math Looks Good in Milwaukee. We're talking about bringing math, science, and related fields to diverse communities. Sharif, when you work as a tutor, I know you've worked in classrooms as well. How do you try to be a part of fixing this problem?
Well, I think one big thing that I always try to do is I try to use examples of scientists that are diverse. I think often we tend to focus on the same like kind of like pillars of the scientific age, like Isaac Newton and Galileo and Albert Einstein. And like, don't get me wrong, they should definitely be mentioned and like a focus on for sure. But like, science is a process that has been contributed to by various countries and like people of like various backgrounds. And I definitely try to like a focus on that. And I've talked to like a kids that like have like said, you know, like, I never knew that, you know, that algebra was an Arabic word, or I never knew that like our numbers came from like European countries, you know? So I think it's all about like showing the balance and global nature of what science like is. And like doing that via examples helps a lot.
You mentioned growing up, even into college, not maybe seeing people who looked like you going into these fields. Can you share your own story of what made you get into math and science fields?
Sure. So when I was a kid, this is something that my parents loved, I would just take things apart. I would take the remote control apart. I would take the microwave apart. I would try to take the massive wooden Zenith TV apart. I don't know, it was just a challenge. Like I kind of thought about it like a Lego set, so I always tried to take things apart and put them back together. I was not always successful, but it was something that I just thought was just fun. I never knew that it was something that was actually this career called engineering, where you build things and take things apart. So you know, as I found out that the rules behind how these things were like built actually depends on like mathematical and scientific principles, that's what got me more into those classes, because it could help me to build things and destroy things. That's, you know, it's like one of those things where I think that a lot of times when you're younger, you don't see the things that you're passionate about or the things that you do for fun as connected to any kind of like career as an adult. So I'm lucky that I had some mentors and some people in my life that helped me to make that connection.
You also teach and talk about video games playing, and I think creating them. Can that be an entry point to help get people into STEM fields?
Yeah, it's a huge entry point. You know, like the video game community is like, it's like very diverse, and it's a mainstream thing at this point. I mean, like, games are not this side thing like they were in the 1980s. I mean, like, it is mainstream culture. So I think that almost everyone, even if you've only played like a phone game, you know, or like a game on your Apple TV or your Roku box, you've played a game, you know. So I think that teaching people that they don't only have to be consumers, but they can actually participate in the industry. And that doesn't always mean that like you have to be a programmer. You can be a marketer, you can be a designer, you could be a PR person, you can be a narrative person that just focuses on the story and the dialogue. There's like so many avenues that can go toward creating this like medium that, you know, is still relatively new. Especially when like compared to like, you know, to television and like radio and like as such. I think it's a great entry point, not only for us STEM, but for a lot of like different fields.
I was at an event at my kid's high school the other day, and part of the goal was to get diverse students from all backgrounds to take advanced placement classes, science, English, across the board. The adults talked about, you know, helping with getting into college and that sort of thing. And then they brought up some kids, and every one of them used a phrase, something like, I wanted to do this to test myself. I wanted to see what my limits were. They talked about these advanced academic classes like people talk about athletics or going into the military. Is that part of how we need to frame it? It's not just, this is a career opportunity. This is about seeing what you can do?
I think that there's some pros and cons to that. I do think that if you are the kind of personality that wants to test yourself, I think that that's fine. But I think that you run into the danger of overdoing it.
Interesting.
And I've definitely worked with students that are taking, you know, way too many APs, and they're very stressed out, and they're staying up super late, and, you know, it's like 14, 15-year-olds, like, drinking coffee and, you know, barely getting sleep and, like, that kind of stuff just to test themselves. So I think that you kind of really want to marry that ability to test yourself with some boundaries, because a lot of, like, you know, teenagers understandably don't, you know, don't really have boundaries, or they think they do, but they really don't. And it's very easy to overdo it. So I think that, yes, in a sense, I think that it, like, can be seen as, like, kind of this, like, sport, but in the same way that you're not going to let a pitcher pitch every single game, or you're not going to let a basketball player play every minute of, like, every game, you have to set some, like, limits on that testing.
Now, Sharif, I'm going to maybe catch you off guard. I didn't warn you I was going to ask you about this. I understand you have some math jokes. Would you be willing to share one or two with us?
I do have some pretty good math jokes, some pretty solid math jokes for you. I don't want to use the 789 because, like, everyone uses that. But I can say, what did the circle say to the square?
I don't know.
How do you get around?
Good, good. That's what everybody can appreciate.
This is what people pay for the tutoring for. It's not just the content, it's the jokes.
Well, we'll leave it there. I took us off on a tangent there, but I guess I'll sign off with you now, Sharif. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
That was Sharif Jackson, founder of the math and physics tutoring service Math Looks Good LLC. You can watch him on the Dungeons & Dragons live stream Rivals of Waterdeep, where he does occasionally share math jokes.